All right, welcome back to another episode of the Lookout Podcast. I'm joined by wildland firefighter Brandon Williams and I don't know if this is new to your resume, but campfire safety educator Brandon Williams.
Yeah, no, it is new as of Tuesday, Thursday. Got my training assignment last Tuesday.
Oh, under the Russ Bazell, right?
Under Russ Bazell, the man himself, yeah.
Yeah, perfect, man. Yeah, that was pretty cool, man, the conservation days. Hang out with, you know, some young students, young minds.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool. I guess I didn't really remember it too well, but I remembered, like, the erosion table, like, the trailer they had set up there.
Oh, from, yeah, when you were a kid, right?
Yeah, when I was in middle school.
Yeah.
That's really all I remembered, but yeah, it was cool. They had, like, the different stations and, like, different agencies talking about a bunch of different stuff. It was cool to be a part of.
Yeah, it was great, man. And I know, like, for me too, like, as a kid, oh man, I'm stiff from that hike today. as a kid, you know, like, you kind of look up to those folks. You're like, wow, that's cool, man. These guys are doing something that matters. And then kind of get to be part of that, you know, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, make that work for you, my friend.
Yeah,
get comfy. The skids at the end, though, dude, like, they were awesome. Like, every one of them, and they're all different. The one that stuck out with me was when that little gal came up, and she's like, fire safety, brah. Is that what she said?
Yeah. So they were doing, like, little skits, right? Like, they did all the stations, and then at the end, they, like, all the groups had, like, one station they had to, like, summarize what they learned.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, the campfire safety, I think, yeah, it was the group, but yeah, she's just like, this one's called bruh, we got a fire.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah.
I was like, you have no idea bruh, how, like, relevant that is to so many people.
Yeah, especially the way she said it. I was like, that's spot on.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that was like awesome
smoke jumper material right there, dude.
Yeah, but no, it was really cool. Like, it was like a full circle moment almost, but also kind of not really, because, if you know, at that age, if you would ask me, you know, if do you think you'll work for the Forest Service or, you know, be in any sort of, like, any public servant role, really, like, I would have been like, you're crazy, man. Well, I'm going to go be a businessman and get rich, but
well, absolutely,
here we are.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean, like, we asked all those kids, and, you know, it's all about outdoor education and conservation, of course, is the title of it, and none of them were like, are you guys going to work, you know, outdoors, or, you know, like...
Yeah, we had maybe one or two folks that were like, maybe.
Yeah. And then, you know, one gal, you know, was super knowledgeable. She was, you know, into the bushcraft.
Oh,
bushcraft,
yeah. Stuff. Like, yeah, that was kind of impressive.
It was. I was like, geez, I want to pick your brain. Like,
right. What books have you been reading? I should read some of those.
Yeah. You have any recommendations?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool, man. And it's just cool to see, like, the range of, like, education and even personalities, right, at that age. Because they're developing. And, man, it's super fun. Gives you some energy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, at that age, dude, I couldn't even tell you, man, like, what I was thinking about doing.
Yeah.
I probably was still under, like, the delusion that I was going to be, like, an astronaut or something.
Right? Like, yeah, that kind of, those, yeah, those, like, little kid dreams. I don't want to call them pipe dreams, you know, because I feel like most sixth graders aren't smoking crack or anything.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah, you haven't really had the experience to, like, know how much thought and effort you have to put into something, you know, like a career.
And what you'll really enjoy. Like,
yeah.
I mean, sure, an astronaut would be cool, but that's not what I wanted to do, you know, like, as it turns out, because I like the outdoors so much. Like, I wanted to be able to go outside and get paid for it, you know?
Right, yeah.
Which is way more appealing to space. I wouldn't pass up the opportunity to go.
I would totally go to space, man. Yeah, that's a question I ask a lot of people, actually. Like,
oh, really?
Would you go to space if you had the opportunity? But like, just like a Katy Perry kind of thing, you know, just for a few minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just get, like, stick your toe in.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, just gonna say I was there, you know, look at the darkness for a minute, you know, feel small, come back.
Yeah, no, exactly. Want to see the moon rise.
Yeah.
Or the earth rise, I guess it would be, from the moon.
That'd be pretty cool, man. Yeah, like,
maybe someday.
Someday, man. Elon Musk keeps up the work, maybe, you know, we'll get there. Jeff Bezos, I guess, is right there too. You know, they keep making it better, maybe. And I was, and I think it takes so long, and I think that's kind of a hard thing about education is, like, at a young age, people start asking, like, what are you going to be when you grow up? No one has a clue, man. Like, until you really get out in the world and get to experience some stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not even using my degree. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it is kind of a loaded question, because, like, you know, the younger you are, the more you don't know. Yeah. And the more that you don't know that you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, that's just one of those experiences with life. Like, as your body grows and, like, you have more experiences and you just, like, you just accrue knowledge.
Yeah.
Or, like, memory. You know, yeah. Like, new doors are opening all the time. Like, I still feel that way. Like,
yeah.
And even now more, like, as an adult, because I feel like your awareness, like, your level of consciousness kind of, like, you know, evolves and grows.
Yeah, matures with you.
Yeah, the more you're, like, living and doing stuff. And so, like, even now, I still feel like my mind's getting blown, like, yeah. Weekly.
Yeah.
You know, like these headphones.
Yeah, right?
Just talking in here and, like, hearing it in here is kind of wild.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, isn't it, yeah, dude? And yeah. It kind of makes it seem like more of a sound studio because it's,
right.
You know, these are kind of noise canceling, so you can't hear much outside. And these suckers, like, do a really good job. Like, there's a highway going, I mean, it's a ways away from us, but you can pick it up a little bit, but the mics won't pick it up, which is super cool.
Yeah.
I've told this story before in the podcast, I think, but I hadn't had this equipment very long. And
okay.
I was in my family cabin on the Missouri, and there's the cabin is built almost on the border of the neighbor property,
mm-hmm.
and it's just cinder block, you know, and it's kind of in rough shape, but no insulation really. And the neighbor dog was just going bananas, like barking like crazy. Like,
oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It sounded like he was trying to get in the house with us, and I was like, well, you know, like I can't tell that dog, you know, to quiet
right.
down, so just see what happens. And I actually forgot about when I was editing because I didn't hear any of it. I was like,
oh, really?
I was super impressed. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It must have like a teeny like cone or something. It's just like very.
Yeah, really very sensitive.
Yeah.
Because like I'll be able to pick it up and I can change it in editing if it goes.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
whoa.
Like way out. But yeah, you get on it, man. It's like really.
That's
sultry?
Wild,
sultry? Is that the right word?
I would use that word to describe it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
It's like. Like really smooth, yeah. Intimate sounds.
Welcome to Night Moves.
Yeah, that's awesome.
With your hosts, Brennan and Luke Barrett. it makes my voice sound a little better than it really is. So that's the plus.
Yeah, I kind of see where the music artists are coming from now.
Oh yeah,
you know, like live concerts versus like studio recording. You know, the song you listen to on Spotify.
Yeah,
yeah, there's definitely something to it.
Totally, man. Yeah, yeah. Like the, you know, you see someone sing like that's like real talent that has like no like assistance really. You know, like most recent example I saw was Carrie Underwood at the like inauguration, I think it was, and
okay,
like
yeah.
The sound was off and it wasn't really working, and she's like, I'll just do it, and like that's singing talent when you don't have anything.
Killed it. She
yeah,
killed
it, crushed
oh,
it. Like
nice.
It was, I think it was a national anthem that she was singing, and it was. In my opinion, I thought it was awesome. In anyone's opinion, it was awesome. She did a great job. And,
yeah.
Like, wasn't, like, really a Carrie Underwood fan, but after that, I was like, that's super cool. And ballsy, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, she could be like, no, I want to make sure I got, like, my mic and someone kind of helping tweak things, you know, in the background.
Right.
But she's like, I got this. And just killed it,
yeah.
Dude. I was
that's
like,
queen energy right there.
Yeah, it is, man. I was like, boss.
That's awesome. Yeah,
I like,
boss.
I like
boss,
you know, Carrie.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And I was gonna ask you too, man. Like, what was the best advice you had coming up?
The best advice?
Yeah, have you got any like really good advice that were just like, oh man, like from high school, fire, whatever it might be, college.
Oh man, my answer would probably change, like you know, when you ask me. But
totally.
I guess like in terms of fire, like sorry.
Yeah. Hey.
The standard firefighting order number 6.
Oh.
Like, be calm, or I can't even remember it now that I'm
yeah.
on the spot, but
oh, my bad.
Stay calm. I wish I had my IRPG.
Yeah.
Something about being calm, be calm, stay alert, think clearly, act decisively, something like that. That doesn't sound quite right, but
yeah.
It just was like, you know, I remember going through guard school, like having to like memorize the 10s and 18s, which I obviously have not kept up on.
Oh, it fades, man.
But yeah, that one just seemed like, it was just it's so applicable, you know, like with just to everything. And I've learned
yeah.
a lot of lessons like through like working for the Forest Service and fighting fire and like working with people being on a hand crew that just translates so well to life, you know. But that one specifically, like I think in any situation, like that's a good thing to do. It's
yeah.
just like
Yeah, take a breath, you take a pause.
Yeah, because if there's, that kind of reminds me of another thing, the 14 Peaks documentary. Have you seen that?
Oh, man.
Nims Purja.
Yeah, holy cow, right?
Yeah, yeah. At one point in there, he's like, even if you think you're completely fucked, you're only about 45% fucked. Yes. And he was like, I don't know what I was saying. I just made that up. But like, it kind of made sense, dude. It resonated with me because like, yeah, if you can just take a breath. Because that's, like, the thing you need most immediately to, like, live, you know, is, like, oxygen flowing through your blood. Like, every time you take a breath, you have 2 minutes to live. And then, like, you take another breath and the clock resets, right?
Yeah, on to the next thing, yeah.
But so, yeah, even more than, like, food and water, like, if you can breathe. And so I've done that a lot. I've, like, relied on that in, like, sketchier situations, maybe on a fire line. Which I haven't had too many of, thankfully.
Yeah.
Like good leadership and knowing when to do stuff and when not to do stuff. But also just in like social settings, you know, like in a really, really like busy bar or something, you know, and like everybody else is just going crazy, you know, just having a great time or having a bad time sometimes, you know, you never know. But just really in any setting, like just taking a breath, man, it's really, really powerful tool that we have. It's like, you know, just a normal function of our body.
Yeah, totally, man. And not getting overwhelmed by the moment, you know, because especially in fire, you know, if you're all around you literally on fire and your life depends on the next decision, you still have like a half a second to gather your brain a little bit and be like, all right, we're going to go next. You know, we're safe.
Right.
You know, like, there was this guy, and he was helping out with human anatomy and physiology. I wish I could remember his name, but he was an ex-Navy SEAL and just awesome dude. And my professor let him know, he's like, yeah, Luke was a smoke jumper. I think I was still maybe attached to the base, like not totally gone from the jump base, so I might have been still smoke jumping. Okay. Not active, really, but like still, you know, on the team a little bit. And but I was on my way out. I was done. I was done smoke jumping at that point. But it was kind of cool because he's like, oh yeah, you know, all right. And so he came and talked to me afterwards, and he was helping grade all the tests. So he's like, you know, he got through a few, and I was kind of down, just hanging out with my professor, and it was end of the semester. And then he came and talked to me for a little bit, and he like brought my test score back to me because he's like, hey, since you're still here, man, you want to know what you got? I was like, I'd love to. And,
yeah.
Because, you know, like I was on the cusp of an A, and it could have, like, if I scored whatever amount of points on that final, like, I think anything under an A or maybe like a high B, I was going to get a B in the class, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, I was on the bubble. And so I was like, I was pretty confident though. So I was like, yeah, we'll see what I got. And I, you know, I end up having a few points to spare, so I was pretty excited about that. And then we got to talking about just like kind of what you mentioned about keeping calm when all around you's going bananas, and like, or when all around you's in chaos. And he's like, yeah, you remember the one thing, like, you know, fly the goddamn plane. Like, if you're a pilot and all around you fucking chaos, remember what you're doing. You're flying the plane, fly the goddamn plane. He's like, that's, he's like, I don't know how many people have gotten like messed up because they let the situation around them overwhelm them and they forget kind of what they're doing and then, you know, slam in where it's like, just fly the goddamn plane. And
I was like, yeah, that's a good one too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was kind of referring to like even like flying a parachute, you know, it's like, like whatever you got to do to get yourself to the ground safely, like focus on that. Focus on like one thing, that one thing that's like most important. And like at that time, if you're taking like gunfire or whatever's going on, or you're losing engine, like, something happens to your aircraft, fly the goddamn thing, you know, like, like figure out how to get that thing to the ground, you know?
Yeah,
it's like,
definitely.
He put it way better than that, but I was like, hey, that's pretty sweet, man. That's some good advice, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody told me that too. And, last December I went, like, you know, I finished working like halfway through November. And then hung out for a few days, like hung out with some friends. And then, in December, like the first, well, I guess, Yeah, the first 2 weeks of December, I went down to Arizona and got a skydiving license. I, like, went down to a drop zone down there.
Cool.
And took, like, the accelerated free fall course. So it was, like, a week, and you do, like, 25 jumps. And, like, but from the first one, like, your very first jump, like, you have your own parachute, right? And I've never, like, done anything like this before. And So you like jump out of the plane and you have a instructor on one side, instructor on the other side that like hold on to you during the free fall.
Oh, cool.
But then once it comes time to open your parachute, you just like wave and pull. And then it's like, oh God, yeah. You know, and they like go over what to do and like how to pilot it and stuff, yeah. Like in the ground school, like the first day. But, yeah, I was having a lot of trouble like landing.
Getting a good flare going.
Yeah. And like, you know, like keeping it steady and like not like reaching for the ground with your feet and just like a few things. And then I took after like the AFF school, the next week was like the bro boogie. Have you heard about that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
My friend Drew is kind of the creator of it, I think.
Oh, yeah. Drew Patterson, right?
Yeah.
He was down there. He was super awesome.
Yeah, he's the man.
Yeah, super welcoming environment. Yeah, it was really, really good to be a part of.
So you were there for that, huh?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I met a dude at a basic academy, like the apprenticeship academy, last March, like March 2024. And
the apprenticeship for the Forest Service, right? For fire?
Yeah. But yeah, met this dude named Damien. Sick dude. You know Damien?
Did you jump on him a call?
No, he's not a jumper. He's
Different Damien.
Damien Marischal.
Oh, no. Yeah different Damien.
Yeah. He was on I think at the time he was on a hand crew.
Oh.
At a Bly, Oregon, maybe.
Oh.
But he was, like, into skydiving.
Yeah.
And so he was, at Academy, he was just talking about it. And I was like, that's so cool. So I was, like, asking him a bunch of questions. And he's like, hey, man, there's a drop zone, like, 30 minutes outside of Sacramento. Like, you want to go some weekend? And I was like, yeah. And so I did a tandem jump, you know, where like I'm attached to the person with the parachute. But I forgot where I was going with that. He was
That's pretty cool though. Is that where you found out about the pro boogie then?
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, Damien told me about it. He was like, hey man, like if you thought that was fun, like get your A license, come down to Arizona, the bro boogie, man, in December. I was like, all right. And then I kind of like thought about it, you know, throughout the season, but then I got closer, maybe like September, October. I was like, man, what am I going to do this off season? And I was like, bro boogie, man.
Yes.
You know, I reached out to him again and I got some more info and then ended up like booking the spot for the class and everything. But
that's awesome.
Yeah,
man.
It was super cool. But yeah, the like fly the goddamn plane, like you were saying, like I took the second week, which is the bro boogie.
Yeah.
At the end of that, I took a canopy course, like the B license canopy course.
Oh, sweet.
So it's like the first, you know, you do the AFF school. That's like your basic. You get your A license.
Oh, gotcha.
And then you need like, so the A license is 25 jumps and then the B license is 50 jumps.
Oh.
And so I like just barely squeaked it in the 50.
Yeah.
And took the course with some of the other folks that were there. And it's like a class about how to like pilot your canopy basically
cool.
and
like malfunction stuff procedures or
yeah oh, we cool. Like we practice like stalling the parachute, you know, and like how to regain control and like just different techniques with like flying it and everything, but and like really like a big focus on landing like throughout the whole thing. And they would like videotape you too, like when you're coming down, so like when they're talking about stuff you can see it, you know. I'm like a visual learner, so that really helped me, but they were like pointing out all this stuff and I was like, oh man, I just don't know what it is. And like, finally the guy, Nick, he was like, you're an active pilot. You're the active pilot. Pilot that thing actively all the way until the parachute's on the ground. And I was like, okay.
All right.
And then like way better.
Dude, it's
way
nuts.
Better. Yeah.
You see that in Smoke Jumper Rookie Training too. It's just like,
okay.
There's, you know, there's a cadre group, especially at like Missoula is a pretty big group because the classes are pretty big because typically it's, you know, Grangeville, Missoula, and West all combined to one class, you know, each year for rookie training.
Gotcha.
So Grangeville will send some folks to help be the trainers, be the cadre, and West will send some folks, and Missoula, of course, has their folks. And sometimes, like, it's all about, like, what that trainer sees and is, and like, being around you and kind of getting to know your personality a little bit during training. They'll be like, all right, I think, you know, you're doing this. And then they can kind of explain, like, in almost in your terms, like, you know, the active pilot thing. Like, you're being the active pilot, make sure you lock things in. And, you know, instead of this, do this and think about this. And they kind of help, you know, just give you the cheat code for your own brain, you know?
Right. No, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and that's awesome. And you can tell when it works really good and when it doesn't, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, man. I kind of see a lot of that. I guess I have been, like, getting to be a part of that at Trapper. Like,
yeah.
You know, because it's like a new group of first years, like almost every year. You know, you might have a few that are still around, so they're coming back for their second year, and they're like relied on heavily for like training the new folks and everything. But
yeah,
there's just like so many people. Like the turnover rate is so high, but then also like just the diversity of people you work with is like insane.
It is, dude.
You know, like my my mom, she was a dorm staff. I think I was telling you this the other day. She was like a dorm manager at Trapper for like 10 years. Now she works at one in Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, she always said like Trapper Creek Job Corps is the most diverse place in Montana. And like, I'd honestly have to agree with that, you know, other than maybe like a university or something. But
so I just think that's the only thing that would probably rival is like UM or MSU, just because you know, people come from all over. Otherwise, especially back in the day, you know, like, man, I mean, Trapper recruits from nationally, you know, and I think always has. So it's like, yeah, you're getting all kinds of diversity at Trapper, you know, versus like anywhere else in Montana, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's really cool. But yeah, you just get like so many different kinds of folks. And so like your leadership style has to like change and like shift depending on what kind of group you get.
Yeah, you know? Totally. Yeah, communication. You need to adjust your communication a little bit for different folks. And like, you know, some people respond a little bit more of a firm, you know, like, but other people just need more of a, hey, you all right? Like, you're kind of messing this up, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Let me help you out here, you know? Say they're just like trying to sharpen a chain. You're like, you know, like, I can see you're kind of struggling. You need a little, let me help you out. Or you'd be like.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And you show them and they, you know, like, they get the hang of it and, you know, you kind of help tune up their skills a little bit now and then. But, you know, they're kind of spongy like that.
Mm-hmm.
And other folks, you know, it's a little more firm and people just like respond to like, you're doing it bad. Do it better. You know?
Yeah, and sometimes that's what that person needs. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it's cool in that way. Like, it's challenging, right? Because, like, you can't really, you know, it's not one size fits all.
Yeah.
But it's also in the same way, or I guess on the other side of the coin, like, it's really cool because you get to practice so many different things and, like, different ways of talking to people. And yeah, man, it's like, and I feel like it kind of translates, too, to, like, outside of the, you know, being on the clock, because like you never know who you're going to meet, like at the supermarket or whatever.
Yeah.
My girlfriend's going to laugh at that, dude. She thinks it's funny that I say supermarket instead of grocery store.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But, you know, you never know who you're going to meet and, or where you're going to meet him. So it's just, it's cool to like, it's one of those skills or, you know, one of those things you just like get practice or experience with like through the, like firefighting. That translates to like just making your life better in general.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally, man. And especially not having, I think it really softens those bias you might have on people just by the way they dress or look.
Yeah, because, definitely.
Like, a lot of times not at all what you thought they might be, you know, like when they show up and even like body language they might be showing and you're like, oh, well, you know, like I've experienced somebody who, you know, talk like you, move like you, dress like you, but totally different personality, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like you gotta try to like save your judgment until you actually get to know them and then kind of develop a little bit more, not so much judgment, but like as you know, are training them and, you know, developing your communication with those folks, it's like you get to see like a different person than what you would have, you know, maybe believed you thought you were getting just off of a visual, the judge the book by the cover, old saying, you know, like not judging the book by the cover because... Yeah, you never know what you might get, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you get to meet people, like, on their terms, you know, rather than meeting everybody on your terms.
Yeah.
Which is sometimes kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know, but it's sometimes pretty freaking awesome, too.
Yeah, it's all, and especially if you're confident in your knowledge and your leadership ability and your communication ability and your communication skills, I guess. It's, you know, you're not like, you got to go out and, like, meet them, like, old school drill sergeant style and just be like, drop and give me 20 and, you know, like get your stuff in your locker. Let's go. It's like, hey, what's going on? You know?
Yeah.
welcome to fire, you know, it's
yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. And it's, I mean, I've only ever worked a trapper, so I don't really have like a good reference point for, you know, how like a district might do things, or like a shot crew, or like smoke jumpers, or, you know, really any other kind of resource. But I mean, like coming through the Job Corps program and like being a student in it, you know, I just, that's like something I really like try and pay attention to and like put effort into, is like being, you know, be almost like being a backboard.
Yeah.
You know, like, just trying to like meet people on their terms, because like we've had some folks that come in that have like been in the fire world for a long time, and then, but they're new to Job Corps.
Yeah.
And like they do great, you know, like it's awesome having that kind of experience and like, just having like real solid dialed folks, you know, 'cause that's a great example for like new firefighters to have. But yeah, sometimes it is kind of like, you know, they get the, like kind of the firefighter personality comes through a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, just like, come on, get the work done.
Yeah.
You know, and it can take different forms and stuff and to different degrees, but,
Well, I think you're, kind of a hybrid there at Trapper as well, because, you're a bit of a counselor and sometimes even a father figure, because these kids yeah. never had one.
No, you know? Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I love about the Job Corps program, and probably like why I've stayed there like a trapper so long, is yeah, like the mentor aspect, you know, because it's, you're not just trying to train good firefighters. You're like trying to develop young men and women into, I don't want to say like, you know, make them employable workers or whatever. I mean, that's like in the mission statement, that's what it says, but just like, you know, people just like trying to develop, or I guess in my eyes, like trying to develop people to like live the most fulfilling life they can, you know, like be grateful and like be happy and just like have a good time, really.
Yeah.
You know, not take it too seriously, I guess is a good way to put it.
Yeah. I want to help kind of get them to be their best too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And like whatever that means to them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to try, like, I don't want to push my version of the best you can be. I like want them to like discover and like build on their version of like the best they can be. You
yeah,
know?
Like I see the potential here, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's like, it's so much of what it is, dude, is just like, just hyping them up.
Yeah.
Just giving them some support, you know, like giving them that like space to be, you know, if they want to be happy, be happy. If they want to be like stoic, be stoic. Like whatever they're trying to do, man, like do it.
Yeah.
You know, but just make sure like this line is 18 inches wide.
You know? Well, we do have a standard, so yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Like yeah. Bare mineral soil, 18 inches wide.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go be free.
Yeah, but I honestly, I think like fighting fire is a great medium for that kind of thing, because it is like challenging, you know, in a lot of cases, like you're just, whatever you're going to use, like you're carrying in, you know, on the hand crew, and like, it's really tough sometimes, you know, like mentally, physically, you know, emotionally even.
Yeah, totally. All
that. It's just challenging, you know, and that's how you get better, is like you get challenged. So, and like for me, yeah, a lot of those challenges have translated into like, you know, my interpersonal relationships outside of work, you know, how I conduct myself, how I like talk to people, how I think, honestly, too.
Yeah, how you perceive people, right? Like, yeah. That's what I was trying to get at before, is, like, how you perceive people, you know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, man, it's very cool. I think it definitely developed who I am as a human, and maybe a little bit polished a little bit more parts than I would have had if I wasn't in fire, because you live with people all summer long, you know, the whole summer, and you gotta get along with these people, you know, you're trying to be your best, and because they're trying to, you're hopefully they're trying to be their best, so like you want to be, you know, like a good teammate, and you know, also a good firefighter, and all the things, right, that you're trying to do to, you know, into summer season, you know.
Yeah.
So there's, yeah, like there's a lot that goes into it, and like you said, the emotional thing, like someone could have something going on at home that you don't know about, and then but you pick it up, like once you're a leader, you know, like squad boss, crew boss, engine boss, whatever it might be, where you're working more direct with fire folks. you know, old mic's off today or something, you know?
Like, yeah, yeah, they're not performing like they usually do, or...
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Focus is a little off or something.
Right, yeah. Not talking as much or talking way more. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird, you, like, start picking up on that stuff once you're, like responsible for somebody's life and well-being.
Yeah, you know? 100%, man. Yeah, you're doing, like, more checking in, like, and, like, non-verbal checking in than, right. than people realize, you know, yeah. like... Watch them get their gear together, you know, like, watching how they're, like, interact with other folks and, like, all right, how's things going? Because, like you said, you know, their safety and well-being is up to you when they're on the clock. So, it's like, yeah. make sure everything's good here, you know. And then, you know, you don't want to put them in a bad situation where if they can't focus and they're trying to fall a tree or something, you know, that could be a bad deal, so.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, dude, the situational awareness, too, like,
yeah.
you know, you're asking about. I guess advice, but like the situational awareness thing, like that was the, like my first time going through guard school. They were like the definition, book definition of situational awareness, you know, like how well your perception matches reality.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, that's a really interesting concept.
Yeah.
And then, like the last like 4, going on 5 years, like building on that, like just like another thing that just translates to every aspect of life.
Yeah.
You know, you're my own emotional state, like walking through town or like driving, you know, it's just like paying attention and like not really even like consciously trying to figure out like what's going on or, you know, like be aware of every single thing.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it's just one of those things. It's like a subconscious growth. You know, like the iceberg is just getting bigger,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's really helped me out too, man. Like, and I started saying it like early on in my fire career. Like, I guess I'm still pretty early on in my fire career, but earlier on in my fire career,
yeah.
You know, people like just joking around or something. You know, they like ask you, oh, what was the weather again or something like that. It just hit him with like SA, bro.
Yeah.
And then I noticed I was doing it to like my friends and stuff when I'd like go on weekend pass from Job Corps.
And they're like, what's SA?
Yeah, they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have a story for you.
You know? Yeah. Let me explain.
Yeah.
Situational awareness. Yeah, man. That's really good, like having the full grasp of your situation. During guard school when I was going through, they had I want to say PowerPoint or maybe just one of the leadership classes. It was like, you know, like those old like motivational posters. It was like situational awareness on top. It was like this tornado and like stuff's just, you know, chaos and this gal's in the road like posing for a picture.
Yeah. Like,
if all around you is chaos and you're still calm, maybe you don't have a full grasp of the situation.
Yeah, right. Or maybe she took some deep breaths. You know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Maybe she does it all the time. Maybe she's like the, yeah. you know, tornado selfie gal, you know.
Yeah. Storm chasing, looking my, good doing it or
yeah,
something.
It's my everyday. You know, yeah. whatever. I was like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty funny, but. Yeah, the situational cool. awareness, yeah. though, man, like, it definitely, like, you know, it's like a muscle, man, every time you, you know, use it more as you go, and if you don't really aren't, if you're not really aware of it, like, something like fire that taps into that, you might not develop it. I think everybody's probably kind of developing it, but some people just kind of float around through life, which is also kind of nice, you know?
Right, yeah.
Blissful
you know, ignorance kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, exactly, just cruising, but... Yeah, you start to, like, observe the world around you more, and I think, too, it's when you're in fire, like, on a severity assignment or, you know, if you're on a local district and you have a local piece of the forest that you're responsible for, like, you know, you're watching the weather, you're watching, you know, like, the horizon, you know, you're constantly looking for smokes, even if there wasn't weather coming through, but then you're still watching the cloud build up and... Checking the temperature, checking the winds, you know, the RH, you know, the relative humidity. So, like, you're aware of all these factors throughout your day, and it doesn't sleep, really.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah, you're not like, I wonder what the winds are doing. It's just, you just kind of notice.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You know, maybe that flag is moving around now. And you're like,
Yeah, and someone kind of, like, usually the only time I notice is, like, if it's, like, abrupt, I'm like, huh. And I'll try to, like, maybe bring someone else's attention to it to make sure, like, everyone's essay is up.
Yeah.
That's the only time. Or, like, if someone else notices me looking at something, I'm like, well, just checking this out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, I mean, it kind of takes a little bit of, I guess it does take a little bit of attention to realize, like, how that, you know, how those subconscious, like, or those factors that you're kind of subconsciously aware of, and, you know, maybe even paying attention to, you know, we do like morning briefing every day, you get like the forecast and everything, but, yeah, like the, what the cloud cover is, like, is there a buildup? Like, what direction are the winds today? Like, did it rain yesterday or, you know, the past couple of days, like all that stuff, like it all kind of culminates into like when you get that, that smoke report call, like you, it's our, your mind has already got a head start on like what you got to do or like maybe what could potentially happen.
I was going to say the kind of expected fire behavior. You're like, you're an idea of like, what, like, what you might get into. And then, you know, on a local district, you have a pretty good idea of what fuels you're going to be battling. So you have a, that helps paint the picture on like, well, it's type five now. By the time we get there, is it going to be type four or type three? You know, like, depending on the conditions.
Yeah.
Or if it's early season, even like right now, you're like, should still be a type five. And a lot of times, like, volunteer fire department's so good at responding, like, they might be on it like way before us, and usually they do a great job of just hammering with water when they get there.
I love to see that.
Oh, it's so great, man. I appreciate those guys so much, or those folks so much, guys and gals, you know, so much. And because the response time, especially for so many small towns in Montana, is like pretty damn impressive.
Yeah,
like I'll show up to something, I'm like, damn, guys, like we're pretty fast to the response on this thing.
Yeah, we were just like at the station, we just like put our bags in the truck and left, and then they're like, beat us here. Yeah, you like, had to drive farther. Like,
how did that happen? You know?
Yeah, no, it's pretty impressive.
It is. Like, I know that everyone calls 911 when they see a smoke, so it goes like a little more direct to them.
Oh, but yeah, that's true.
There's not that much delay typically between like their dispatch to our dispatch to us, and then sometimes you kind of even see the smoke. You're like, oh yeah, I think we got some over there, and you kind of wait for the official call, you know, or you start kind of meandering that way, and you get the door's blown off by the
yeah, you're like leading off the base. You're like, all right, here we go, here we go. Yeah. We'd like you to respond.
Yeah, we're in route. And then, but the volunteers can, you know, run code or whatever, so they can throw lights and sirens and roll. So, like,
that's true, that too. Happened, yeah, yeah.
Blow by me, and I'm like, well, we'll see you there, you know. Thanks, guys. You know, which is awesome, because then it's like they're going to get like a little quicker response and start knocking it down, you know. And And typically, they don't want to spend too much time out there, so they're pretty happy when we show up, because they just hand it off to us, and it's like, thanks, guys, you know, like, see you in the next one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I always thought it'd be pretty cool to do something like that. You know, like...
Yeah, it really gets you part of the community, because they do so many, like, little charity things, like pancake breakfasts and stuff,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, just really being, like, a community staple like that, you know? And
yeah, it's awesome.
I don't, like, the volunteer part, just, like, I think that's so cool, because right now, I mean, like, you know, I gotta work, man.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I gotta make some money, but I could definitely see myself doing something like that, you know, later in life, once I've hopefully figured some stuff out and, like, you know, have time and like the energy to like just stay active as like part of the community, you know?
Yeah, that's huge, man. I think I've mentioned this before on the podcast, so apologies, folks, but these things called Blue Zones, do you know about them?
Blue Zones.
They're like ultra agers, or, you know, folks that are like older and healthy, like super healthy.
Okay.
I think everyone's about, I don't know, I mean, I'm going to mess this up because I haven't looked at the data in a while, but I think everyone's like 100 plus years old and like functional and like super healthy.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, and they contribute. One of the factors is like to community, most like, because there's these little zones around the world they call like Blue Zones that, that have these folks that are like healthier, living longer, and maybe some other factors that brought their attention to these areas, because they're kind of small like areas. Like, why is this, like, what's going on here? Is it something in the water, you know, like, is it something in the air, like, what are they eating? And, you know, like anything, it's a multitude of factors. And one of the things they found, though, was the community aspect, like, because they're looking for those common denominators in community. And I think activity, you know, staying active and, you know, eating right was pretty big. But I think some of the, like, other things like smoking and drinking, like the usual factors that shorten a lifespan, I think weren't even really a factor in these communities. So they're kind of like, wow, it's so powerful. Just being, like, part of your community is a huge thing, you know?
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Yeah, you said Blue Zone. I was like everybody's sad?
No, I know.
That's, like, the opposite. That's way better, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. So, and one of them's, like, I think not far outside of L.A. or something. It's in California.
Hmm.
In kind of a high populated area, because I was thinking it was like, it's called going to be like Buddhist temples.
Right.
People are super chill, meditating, and, you know, not getting too spun up about things. I was like, one of the spots was in California, and I was like, wow, that's pretty wild. And it's like,
yeah, wow.
Yeah. Almost like within a neighborhood, kind of small, you know, like it's maybe a little bigger than that, like a little community, but I was like, oh, it's important to be involved.
Yeah, man, for real. And that's, I mean, we were talking a lot about work-life balance up at Lake Como the other day, but like, I mean, I've noticed a difference, even like the small changes that I've made too, like just like, you know, not getting so augured into the you get that overtime during the summer, you know, and like taking time off, like taking a week or two off here,
yeah,
taking like, you know, going on a trip or something like postseason. But yeah, dude, just like spending time with friends and like family, especially, like my family's pretty spread out. So just like making the rounds and like, even from like a long distance, you know, like going, like I went to a family reunion last summer in Durango, Colorado.
Yeah.
And it was just a weekend, but like, dude, my cup was like overflow. It was like spurting. It was like Old Faithful, like geyser, man. It was like, it was so good and like so refreshing,
dude.
Just having that, just a weekend, you know, with like some, in this case, like my family, you know, but just people that you love and people that love you, and you can like just like laugh with, be yourself with.
Yeah.
It's so important to have at least like one person, you know. I feel like some folks maybe don't have that.
Yeah, dude.
You know, and that's like another part of the, something I think about, you know, at the Job Corps too, is like you never know.
Yeah, some students don't have anybody.
You know, I'm not saying like I'm trying to, you know, like be best friends ever and, you know, spend every minute with them kind of thing, but, you know, just being like, just give them that kind of attitude, or, you know, like the
somebody cares attitude.
Yeah, man. Just like take some time, take some energy, care a little bit. It's like, it's huge. It's insane, like, the difference can make.
It's paying it forward, man. It goes a long way, you know, like,
yeah.
And because especially they haven't received that kind of compassion or care from anybody, you know, and especially someone they look up to, like a mentor, they're like, oh, that kind of feels nice, you know?
So it's yeah.
Like, yeah.
No, and that was something that I learned from my mom too, like when she was a door manager, because she was a door manager at the same time, like I was like a student.
Oh, really?
So that was actually really fun, man.
Like, that's pretty cool.
We kind of kept it on the DL.
Yeah.
And so, you know, somebody, one of the other students would be like 6-7 months in.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'd call her Miss B, you know, same as everybody else, would not do any like mom, son stuff. And so, yeah, people would like, they'd be hanging out with me for months and like hanging out with her for months. And then one day just like somehow, like somebody else tells them, or they find out somehow, and they're just like, what? You know, but yeah, man, just like that was a really cool opportunity to be able to like see her operate like in her professional realm, you know, and just kind of be like sometimes involved, but most of the time just being a fly on the wall. Like, that was, because I always knew her as mom, you know, she's just my mom kind of thing.
But to see her in the professional,
but yeah, to see like Miss B, dude,
yeah,
like to get to know that side of her, and like
yeah, dude,
it was incredible, man. And I learned so much about like just like patience specifically, dude.
Yes.
She's the most patient woman I've ever met. But just like, yeah, just being compassionate, being kind, like listening, you know, like if somebody walks through the door and they're like, you can just tell, you know, they're kind of antsy and stuff, she would just be like, what's going on? And they'd be like, you know, don't know how to get it out, or, you know, whatever. And she just like gently closed the door to the office, and then you could just see him like through the window, just like having a talk. And I'm like, I don't know what they're talking about, dude, but that dude is getting healed.
Yeah, you totally. Know?
Just like that mom energy is just, it's so important. It's so, so beautiful.
So beautiful. So important, man. And we've all had that a little bit throughout our lives, whether it's directly from our own mom or from just a teacher that really cares, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
That is so important, man. And it's like the healing part, like you said, there's not much better healing out there than that mom care energy, you know?
Yeah, dude.
Like, it's huge, because it, you know, it creates this space that's warm and inviting and safe, and you're like, you know, come on in, let's talk, you know? And it's like unjudgmental, you know? It's just like, I'm here, you know, to help you. And it's like, that's, you don't get that, man, like everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even as a buddy, you're like, I gotta tell you something that happened to me, you know, like, whether it's, you know, something embarrassing or whatever, you know, and they're like, are you judging me because I made a bad decision?
Yeah. You know, like, like, no, man, I'm laughing because it was funny the way you told the story. But, mm-hmm. you know, I always ask, you know, if my friends are, if they're, you know, something weird or, like, you know, bad happens or, like, yeah, like, they make a silly decision or something. It's like, what'd we learn?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
My question, you know, and I, like, I should honestly ask myself that question more.
Oh,
I do from time to time, but, you know, it's like, yeah, what'd we learn?
Yeah.
Okay, let's apply that, move on.
Yeah, know? Exactly. Yeah, and then don't dwell on that stuff, man. Like, that's, dwelling will eat you up, man.
Yeah.
Eat everybody up, you know, you focus on something bad that happened to you or bad situation or just little things, right? If you're like, man, it's been a week, you know, like little things just keep happening. You're like, and you start hyper-focusing on that, man. It's going to, those little things are turning into big things, you know, big bad things.
Yeah.
So, like, not trying to dwell on that, like you said. Move on, you know. All right, that happened. Move forward, you know, next mission, next thing, you know, stay positive.
Yeah. Yeah, can't win them all.
Yeah, can't win them all, man. And stuff happens, man. You know, Murphy's Law is a bit of a real thing out there. You know, anything that can happen will happen or whatever, you know. Like,
yeah.
So, you know, and I think that's having that good mindset of, like, on that, you can't be ready for everything, but also, like, controlling how you react to, like, whatever situation comes up. Like, it's easy to be like, oh, you know, like, some good news, like, hey man, you won the lottery, you'd be like, holy shit. But yeah. Like, hey man, this really bad thing happened to you, like, you lost a family member, it's like, oh fuck, you know. But like, being able to, like, it like, for me, I almost take a tactical pause, like, inside. Like, I can feel almost like my heartbeat almost, like, kind of like stop for a second and just, like, analyze everything and just be like, oh yeah, that's not good, you know, like, that's not what I was hoping to hear today, but thanks for telling me, you know, instead of, like, just, like, an outburst of, like, why, you know, it's more of a, all right, well, yeah, that sucks, but thanks for telling me, you know, and
yeah, yeah,
what do we do now, you know,
right,
next thing.
Yeah, man, it, like, takes some time to process, like, digest that kind of thing, you know. I'm
digest,
definitely that way, too,
way,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm more of, like, a, I feel like when I get, like, you know, some bad news or something, or, like, something doesn't go the way I wanted it to, I'm definitely, like, kind of shimmy off on my own, you know, and, like, kind of just, like, take some me time to, you know, like, let it digest or, you know, do whatever I have to do. It's more like a, like, definitely independent in that way. But yeah, some people, they'll just, like, let it all out right there.
Yeah.
And honestly, I've, like, I respect folks that can do that, because I feel like I've always been a little, I don't know if, like, ashamed is the right word, or, like, you know, like, scared to do it. But for whatever reason, yeah, I just tend to want my own time and my own space to deal with hardships. But that's, like, another thing that, like, being in the fire service has, like, helped me improve on and, like, helped me grow in, because sometimes, you know, you're with your crew, and you can, like, kind of sneak away for a little bit, but especially as, like, a squatty, you know, or, like, somebody that other people are, like, relying on, it's, you can't leave, you can't,
no,
like, be on your own, you know, so that's,
yeah,
forcefully I've been, like, you know, given opportunities to improve on it, not by my own choice, but
yeah,
I'm, you know, I'm grateful for that, too, because if it was my choice, like, I would never improve on it.
Totally.
You know, so it's, like, kind of that like, forced uncomfortability. That's like, oh man, that's a sweet spot for, like, personal growth.
Yeah. No, that's a great way to put it, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it, yeah. Compartmentalizing stuff a little bit too, like, prioritizing, like, you know, like you said, if you're involved in, like, some kind of, you know, operation, like fire, you know, whether it's, like, a initial attack or, you know, extended attack, you maybe burn operation, like, whatever you're doing, that's, like, needs your attention. So, like,
right,
you know, some information comes, especially now that we all, you know, cell phone era, everyone's got a cell phone, so information can hit you at any time if you got a cell phone signal. So it's like if you glance at your phone real quick, you're like, oh, well, I can't do anything about that right now, you know, like, kind of put it away and then get back after the task at hand. And then afterwards, you know, like, kind of finish whatever you're doing, finish the shift, and kind of, like, get a little chance to mull it over a little bit. And for me, it's, I almost prefer it that way, because then it's like, I, you know, I'm a lot, sometimes I'm just like, I don't, man, that's, yeah, it's just like, oh, that just sucks. So I want to sit on it for a minute and digest it anyway. So it's like, keep doing what I'm doing. And then, like, right, afterwards be like, well, I better check in on whoever sent me that. Or, you know, like, one time I was on this fire in just south of Sedona, Arizona. And it was definitely an IC3, but there was an IC3 available. So I was on it. Mm. IC, and we had a air attack on it before I got there. So he was kind of running the show from the air. And then, you know, I took it over as soon as I got on scene. And then that air attack was timing out. So then another air attack came on scene, like, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes after I was on scene, kind of gathering all my, you know, gathering all my thoughts on the situation and you know, plan. And never been in that area in my life, you know, totally.
That's tough.
Yeah, new to that area, new to the fuel type, kind of. I mean, I fought a little fire in Arizona, so I was a little familiar, but never I seen anything in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're getting after it. There was I had everything from seats, lats, to V-lats. And so, like, folks listening who don't know, seat, single-engine air tanker, small, like, crop duster plane, lat, large air tanker, so it's your kind of medium size. VLAT, very large air tanker. So
I always thought simple. That was a funny acronym.
Yeah,
like the very large. What's the V? Very.
Yeah. Like,
okay.
I was really hoping for something cooler the first time I heard that.
Yeah. Like, right.
Oh. All right. Oh, so it's bigger than the lat. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so yeah, this DC-10, and I can't remember. I think it did like 4 drops on this thing, and trying to protect this dude's all of his like water lines and stuff. It was like his infrastructure for his farm, and like. Mm. I think it was lots of money of water that he had up on that hill, with like cisterns and well and water lines and all kinds of stuff he had. So we were just trying to paint the hillside in front of that to keep it away, and then try to get some boots in the ground and kind of buy your time until evening when things kind of calm down a little bit and get a little chance to get around it, you know, when the fire is a little more tame.
Yeah.
So I think the air show had just ended, and I got like, from a bigger fire just down the road, I got like 7 engines showed up come help out. Yeah, so Mesa Hot Shots, and they're awesome. Shout out to Mesa. And then I had like, I already had like, I think maybe I had 7 engines already. And then so I got my double load of engines there, and only had them for the evening because they had to go back to the, I can't remember what the heck the name of the fire was, but something that was just in the area of Sedona. This is in 2021, I think.
Okay.
So, you know, some folks listening may have been on that fire, but get a text message, and there's only one spot that really had any service. It was kind of down by where I was hanging, so I could talk to the FMO and dispatch, and it's like a text message, and my wife's like, was pregnant at the time. My wife's pregnant at the time, and she's like, I think my horse is dying. And this is like her childhood horse.
Oh,
it's
no.
At our house, you know. I was like, it's back here in Montana. I'm in Arizona. I'm like, fuck. You know, like,
yeah.
That is not what I want to hear. And this horse is awesome. I mean, he's, like I said, my wife's had him since she was a little girl, and he was pretty young when she got him, and so had a long, long time. And he was like part of the family, man. This guy was like a dog, you know. And he was so cool, man. And I was like, oh, that's awful news, you know. So I was like, I think I like had a quick minute, you know, before these engines showed up to like give a shout, and I was like, hey, what's up? You know, and then I was able to kind of coordinate and make a few phone calls back home and get my older brother coming up to come help her manage this horse. And, and we ended up having to put it down. Like it was really old, but,
that sucks.
Yeah. So I had to get a vet coming and stuff. I think my wife handled that part, but you know, help kind of reassure her, like that's the right thing to do, you know? And meanwhile, I got a goddamn IC3 fire wrestling, and but like, and this, the reason why I told that story is like tying like what you're talking about, just like your operational ability and how it grows with you, and fire does a good job of introducing you small, right? You start as a firefighter type 2, you know, and just kind of like support, right? Like,
yeah,
you're not in charge, you're not going to be in charge of anything, you know. You just,
except maybe trash.
Trash, yeah. Dude, yeah, clean up, especially on a crew.
Yeah.
And then you know, just Pulaski motor, you know, you're there to dig line and support, and then, you know, help with some hose, you know, and all those things. And then your second year, you know, you start getting some responsibility, you know, maybe even like help run the pump and run the engine and things, you know, getting some little smaller things. So you get this like growth with your career. That's pretty cool. And that was kind of like almost like a culmination of all the experience I had, because I'd been a smoke trooper for 5 years at that point, a district firefighter for 5 years at that point, and just been all over the nation fighting fire, you know, from Alaska to Arizona to Tennessee, you know, and Kentucky. So it was like, had all this experience that like helped me manage that situation that like when I was younger, that might've crushed me.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah,
I mean, the fire alone would have crushed me. Cause like I struggled so hard on my first IC5 that was like dead pretty much. You know, like it was a single tree lightning strike.
Yeah.
It wasn't doing anything. And I just could not get my brain to work a mic, you know, radio.
Dispatch. My hand was shaking. Yeah. I was like, dude, you haven't even talked to dispatch yet. I'm like, I know. Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah. It's terrifying. Oh. And then, but yeah, man, you're right. You're just, the more you do it, like the more slides you get, it's like, you know, now it's just like, hey, dispatch, what's up?
Yeah.
You know, and you almost want to like call him a nickname or something.
Yeah, totally. Oh,
scared,
man.
Maybe getting too comfortable, but.
No, that's what, like when I was jumping, I was kind of like that, man. I was like way more casual. Oh, yeah. And I think a lot of the dispatchers kind of appreciated it because I was more personable too.
Right.
So, hey, how's it going? You know, like, appreciate you guys. Like, just got on the fire. Here's a quick size up, you know. We got some folks, you know, engaging right now. I'll get back to you with a better size up and some needs here in a minute. So stand by, you know, or whatever I'd say. And then, you know, go assess the fire, figure out if like I have enough resources and whatever I might need, whatever else I might need. And then check back in with dispatch with a, you know, better size up of like, you know, spread potential and size and all that stuff, you know, and then and what my future needs were looking like. And then usually after that, you know, I get their phone number. So, you know, so I wasn't tying up the radio, I'd call them and be like, hey, what's going on? How you guys doing? You know? And if they weren't too busy, like in this fire I see in Bozeman, that we jumped into when I was jumping out of West, and you know, like it was super slow. It was early season. I think it was like right around the same time of year as this, like, you know, end of May, June or something, and probably June. And, we're the only showing on the whole forest, and I knew that. So I didn't mind kind of tying up the phone a little bit to, you know, just talk to them a little bit, and I knew I'd be working with them a lot this summer. So like, I was like, hey, man, you know, what's your guys' background a little bit, you know, because they asked me mine, and so I asked them theirs, and just building those relationships, man. I mean, networking is like huge, and especially like, I think dispatch doesn't get enough love sometimes. So it was like, you know, I really appreciate you guys, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. No, that's awesome, man. Yeah. I love it when people are a little more, like laissez-faire on the radio.
Me too.
You know, it's like, some burns or, you know, fires I've been on, it's like, it just seems like scripted.
Yeah.
You know, they're like reading off a script. And like, I get it in some ways, you know, you need like that common language, common terminology and stuff so that everybody's on the same page. But, you know, like, throw a little flavor in there.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Put some chili powder in it or totally, something, you know, like spice it up.
Yeah. Well, and I think also like it lulls you to sleep, right? Because then it's just like a radio broadcast, like, yeah, you know, like a weather update, you know, and you're like, if you get too many of those and it's on that monotone thing, your brain starts kind of focusing on something else. So like,
right.
You know, I do the same thing. Like, especially if I, you know, knew the guys pretty good. Like one of my good buddies who was on this fire with me and outside of Superior, the Sunrise Fire, I think it was. And his last name was Martinez. So I'd be like, Martinez, you know, like, and, I'd be like, this is Barrett, you know? And then he'd like, you know, radio back and just like little things, like you said, it doesn't have to be something crazy, but just like, attention getter, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I feel like there's a lot of that, like, you know, on like crew nets or something, you know, you're talking to somebody you're familiar with, but yeah, I love hearing that on like a big campaign fire where you're like, you're trying to get like the crew next to you, you know, you're just like, hey, you know, whatever, like, hey, Trap Creek, what's cracking, man? Where you at?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh man, I kind of want to go face to face with this guy. See what he's about, you know?
Yeah, totally. It made me think of like the, you know, the hoot, like give me a hoot.
And yeah. Oh, I love
all
the hoots.
Oh dude. And all the different hoots you hear, like everyone's hoot is so unique, dude.
Yeah, dude. No, the hoots are awesome.
This one guy would just scream, man. Like this awful, like it sounded like a bird dying, like scream.
Oh, jeez.
But it was hilarious. Like, and you don't know what's coming, right? Like, no idea what this guy's hoot was gonna be like. I was like, hey man, give me a hoot. And then he just like screams, and I was like, gotcha.
Yeah, man. No, those are fun.
Yeah. Yeah,
usually my hoot is like my ski call.
Oh.
You know, like skiing up at Lost Trail a lot, and you know, try to find each other in like the woods, or your friend does something sick, you know. You just give him like a you.
Yeah.
You know, but like really loud and like really unapologetically doing that.
Oh, totally,
you know?
Man.
That's, yeah.
That's what I like it too about fires. I think people like you get kind of overly tired, you know. Mm. So like your whatever,
yeah,
kind of censorship or you know like breaks you might have on your personality start to fall off.
Oh yeah, know? Those days where everybody's loopy and like just being kind of crazy.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you get about halfway through a fire assignment and like you know the brakes are coming off. Everybody's like control mode in their personality and super funny stuff comes up.
Yeah.
I mean, like, great songs have been written on fires and, like, mm-hmm. just cool crew stuff and little inside jokes, man. And, well, and the riddles start going around. It's yeah. such a great environment.
Yeah. No, it really is. It's been the coolest job in, like, so many aspects, you yeah. know, that I've ever had. So, it's, if I ever decide, you know, it's not the move anymore and I, like, try to find something else, like, I think I'm going to have a tough time.
Yeah, I guess why a lot of folks do have a hard time. Yeah. I think, you know, we were kind of talking about the other day, you know, like the work-life balance and how your life changes as you grow, and it makes it easier, you know. And I think at your point in your career, you're not around a lot of, like, guys that are on their end of their career. So, I don't think it crosses your mind, at least. At least it didn't mind when I was, like, on the district. And even, you know, one of my mentors who was the AFMO, he was awesome, but he wasn't that much older than me, you know? So mm-hmm. like he had a lot of career in front of him too, you know?
Right.
So it was like from the AFMO down to us. Well, even the FMO, he's still there, I think. And, my man Schmitty, and he, you know, like no one was like talking about retirement really. We were all just like enjoying the moment. And like, I think we all were really enjoying our jobs at the time and it was so yeah. fun. And then, you know, the older I got in my career and how it goes, you know, the people who are not that much older than me are getting close to retirement and starting to think about things and more life things happen, you know, you start to build families or whatever it might be, man. You kind of want to be around more for stuff and missing right. a little bit of summer that you might be losing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But so, like...
Yeah, I guess you gotta smile because it happened rather than, like, cry because it's over.
Yeah, 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 that's a great way to put it, man. And I think you got to be ready, though. I don't think, unless something happens that kind of forces you out, you know, before you're ready, and that's kind of tough because you're always kind of thinking about, like, oh, the glory days.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
But if you kind of go out and you're ready, like, I was a little worried because my Crohn's, like, it somewhat forced me out. But I was also already starting to kind of float that way that, like, well, luckily I got to do almost everything I wanted to do when I was jumping. So that was like,
nice.
A huge factor. Yeah, like, yeah. in 2015, I got my Alaska. I got to fight fire in Alaska, so I got a couple jumps in Alaska. Spent like 3 months up there one summer.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I was like training and then fighting fire. And then I got to go to Miles City and get my Miles City jump, which also ended up being a Whitehall jump. So I got to jump my hometown.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Whitehall, Montana. Yeah, which is like, I don't know too many people have ever jumped their hometown. You know?
Yeah, no, that's wild.
And dude, it was such a like superstar jump too, like movie jump, because it was on the north end of the Tobacco Roots, which is like just outside of town. Right. And the angle that it was at, it was like presenting, the fire was like presenting towards town. So like the jump ship was orbiting like in this kind of almost like a show. So like so many people saw that jump that I didn't realize it, you know. And my dad might have been spreading the word a little bit before I got there. Because the jump plane flies so low that I had cell phone service. And it was funny because we were flying to a different fire initially. And then my dad sends me a picture. He's like, hey, why don't you come put this out? Why don't you and your buddies come put this out, you know?
Yeah, no.
Sent it from his porch. I was like, oh, shit, that was a pretty good fire, you know? Like, it's putting a pretty good column. And then we got turned around from that fire, and we're heading back to Miles City when he sends me this thing. And then all of a sudden, you know, someone yells, like, the spotter yells or something like, hey, we got another one, you know, don't get too comfortable, you know? And I was like, oh, shit, Pops, I think we might be heading your way, you know? And I think we were around Bozeman at that point. Like, we turned around and then turned around again. And then someone talked to the spotter, and I'm like, by chance, are we heading to Whitehall? You know, I get to yell at him. And he's like, yeah, how'd you know? And I show him the picture. And he's like, can your dad send some more photos? Do you know where that is? And I was like, yeah, man, you know? So like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, my dad sent a bunch more photos and, like, kind of give a better idea, like, because it's real time, you know? Like, and yeah, so I'm going to go jump it, and my dad even came up. He's got this little Jeep, and
nice.
He's like, you guys need anything? I was like, well, yeah, we'd always take whatever you got, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so he went and grabbed, like, some snacks and some drinks and
nice.
Came up and, yeah, resupplied us, you know? And, like, which is always nice, man. Like, you know, a couple cold Gatorades and some snacks, you know, and yeah, it was like just hanging out with him, and he was pumped to hang out with like some fire folks, and there was some local folks from the forest that he'd known from when I fought fire there, and then, you know, he got to hang out with some smoke jumpers too, so he was pretty pumped.
Yeah, that was probably so cool for him, man.
Yeah, and I think he brought the dog with him, and the dog was just harassing everybody, and so
nice.
Yeah,
oh, fire dogs, dude. Dog on a fire is the best.
Oh, it was awesome,
such
man.
A booster. But yeah, he was probably like, you guys remember little Luke?
Yeah.
There he is.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like,
yeah,
like
I'm just
flying down.
Yeah.
That's so cool, man.
Like, don't hit tree. Don't hit rock. Don't hit tree.
Yeah. 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 Like, don't fuck up. Don't fuck up.
Everyone's watching. Everyone's watching. So yeah, I meant to ask you, speaking of smoke jumping, man, when you were talking about the bro boogie earlier, are you, is that kind of the trajectory, man? Are you going jumping?
Dude, I don't know. I really don't know. I certainly like started thinking about it. You know, after jumping out of a few planes.
Yeah, it's a good time, dude.
Yeah, and just also just like hanging out with like Drew and who else is there? Hayden, I think it was after his just the end of his rookie year.
Oh, nice.
At Missoula.
Was like one of the Thorpe brothers there? I think Aaron or Eric are their names.
Thorpe. Oh, Aaron, yeah. It might be.
Yeah.
I honestly don't remember his last name, but there was an Aaron there. Yeah, he was really... Everyone was so nice, dude.
Totally.
I was, like, so scared, like, showing up, because, you know, I'm just, like, a little type 2IA guy, you know, hand crew guy.
What's
and
the...
I was, like, just going to hang out with a bunch of smoke jumpers. But it was so chill. They were all
so
cool.
Dude. Yeah, it's so inclusive, man. Like,
yeah.
Drew was on the podcast
okay, nice.
Last year, maybe, and he was getting the word out there on the podcast about it, and that was one of, like... the points he had was just like, it's for everybody. It's not just a jumper thing. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It's just like a cool, you know, post fire season gathering to get folks together. And like
yeah.
we were talking about the importance of that, you know, the off season hangs, man.
Yeah.
Super important.
Yeah. And there ended up being Dave, I think his name was, captain of the Alpine or superintendent maybe of the Alpine shots.
Oh man, shout out Dave.
So like, yeah, shout out Dave, dude.
The Alpine shots, man. If that's what I'm thinking of, I think it's on the National Forest, right? Or National Parks, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think Alpine's a parks crew, which is super cool.
Because
there's only two of them. And yeah.
Yeah, yeah, him and his wife Val were there, and then
super cool.
There's a Brendan Flanagan, dude. Shout out Brendan.
Yeah.
Showed me how to pack a parachute.
Oh,
yeah, he's on Palouse, I think, hand crew.
Cool.
Out of Idaho. So yeah, it wasn't like just smoke jumpers. I was kinda worried I'd be like, you know, intruding, like what is this guy doing here?
But, yeah, they're looking down.
Yeah,
on
no,
you.
It was a good group of, you know, like different resources and just like ever like such cool people, man.
Yeah, man.
And just like the skydiving thing. I feel like it's, you know, it's one of those things that also kind of attracts like a, you know, like a, I don't want to say like a certain group of people or like similar personalities, you know, but just like, yeah, everyone was so chill.
Yeah.
So nice. And it was like, you're just like drinking beer afterward, just like hanging out, you know?
Yeah.
Just having a good time. Just like jumping out of planes for fun.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah, totally, man.
It's
it was
so
super
strange.
Super exciting thing and then hanging out. And,
yeah.
And I think those hangs are super important when you get to hang out with like someone who's like a superintendent of a shot crew and then a, you know, a smoke jumper. And
yeah.
And, you know, down to your district guy, like, you know, like down as in just like the amount of time you spend in fire typically is like, you know, newer folks, you're typically on a district to, you know, not there any less, you know, being on a district. So
right. Yeah. Yeah.
Want to make that clear. But it humanizes everybody. Right. Like, so it's
yeah.
like, you're not, you know, you're not the engine guy. You're not the smoke jumper. You're not the hot shot. You're just another dude, you know,
yeah.
or, you know, another one of the bros hanging out, you know, and it's important because I think on fire sometimes, like, you're under that, you know, dusty engine guy who's just like tired and has been at it for way too long. So maybe they're not so friendly. And the same thing with like jumpers, hot shots, propellers, hell attack. Like,
right.
You know, and if that's your only, you know, interaction with someone like a hot shot or smoke jumper, you're like, man, those guys are dicks. And it's like,
right.
Well, you don't really know where that guy's coming from, you know, or gal. Like, they could have just like, come off 48-hour shift and they're just spent, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, all they're thinking about is going to check out and go check out again to, you know, sleep, you know, like
yeah.
check out of the fire and then go check in somewhere to sleep, you know? And it's like, so it, giving folks a little grace, but also like getting to hang out in the off season, you're like, oh, heck yeah, man. And then it takes out the intimidation thing, you know, because like hot shots can be intimidating and same with smoke jumpers because, you know, they do some really cool stuff and
yeah.
the training's super hard. So you're like, oh man, like, when I was coming up there was a Hotshot crew on the BBRD. So it was like, it was like kind of this mystical thing, like, oh, Hotshots, you know, like, man, these guys are tough, you know, like, like, wow, you know, like, these guys are rock stars, and they are, but, like, once I got to know them, I'm like, oh, yeah, they're just firefighters like us, you know, like, they're just done a little bit more than us, you know, like, they just, you know, their main focus is fire, so, like, they get a lot more experience, and they have, you know, hard training at the beginning of the year, and, you know, it kind of helps sustain their season. But, like, once you kind of humanize them a little bit, you know, it's like, oh, cool. And then also I think it makes it be, like, you're more likely to want to be a part of that group, right? You're like,
right, yeah.
Like, oh, man, these guys are great. I love to fight fire with these guys, you know?
Totally.
And I use the guys as unisex, you know?
Like, yeah. Guys, folks.
Yeah, dudes, folks.
Yeah, crewmates, whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, no, it was a really cool, like, it was a very eye-opening experience, you know? Like, brought a lot of good perspective too, because just hanging out and like picking their brains, you know, about fire, or like career, or just about life, you know. People have, you know, smoke jumpers are it's like a profession where not very many people do stuff like that, you know. So it's just like people have in these like weird, crazy like careers, they just have like so many cool stories, you know, about like the career, but also just like about life in general. So it was really good to hang out with them and like pick their brains about work and like, you know, fire and, you know, how their career went. And then, you know, it was like Drew, I think he'd been at Missoula for like 17 years and he went back to Redmond now I think he's a loft manager there, but you know, like he had a first year at some point, you know? So, and he was telling me like about that and like how he got started. And
yeah, I think he rookied out of Rack, you know, so it was kind of cool going
back. He was like going back home. Yeah. But yeah, man, it was super awesome. And I wish those kinds of things were like more like frequent or more available, you know, which I guess they are. I feel like if you're looking for that kind of thing, they become so much more available.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and they're just kind of small scale, right? Like the bro boogie and like the putt and pole and things like that.
Yeah, dude. I was sad I missed that, man. Yeah, I can't remember what cool. I was doing. That was might have been in Virginia. Or no, I think I was at Academy.
Oh,
maybe. Yeah. I was at Advanced Academy. But
yeah, that's a good excuse.
Because I went last year.
Oh,
and
cool.
Like did the, yeah, I was helping like, I was like the skeet guy, you know, I was like pushing the button for the clay pigeon to fly out. Oh, so much fun, dude.
Oh, that's so cool.
Just like
man.
Meeting people and like interfacing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great way to start the day, man. You know, going out to the trap range and super early and just hang out with folks, and people are getting ready for the day. And, you know, some people are doing the full gamut, you know, like they're getting there in the morning or gambit and they're, you know, starting their day with the trap shoot, and then they go to, you know, shoot some golf and then back to the putt or, Highlander for the like social afterwards, and you know they're competing for prizes and you know like the trophy, and it's really cool, man.
Yeah, man, that after hour hang.
The after hour hang.
It's sick. Yeah, I also went to the what do they call it? The Fire on Ice. Like that fundraiser hockey game they have in Missoula. Yeah.
That's
Clint
a great
was
one.
Telling me about it. Shout out Clint. What up,
yeah,
dude?
Clint. Yeah, me and Clint play on the JV team together.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're playing?
Oh yeah, man.
Oh shit,
happening.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Damn. That's sick.
Yeah. Me and Clint, I think we played the exact number of games. Like we both got picked up like the same time, and
yeah,
it's been
sick.
Awesome, man. And, yeah. Clint's been
dope.
Yeah. Clint's been a rock star with that stuff too, man. Like, helping out with the fire and ice. And then he's been a big part of the button pole every year. So
yeah.
Super
yeah.
cool, man.
No, he's awesome. Yeah. I remember he scored a goal like in game and then like another one in the shootout. And I was like, oh dude, it was so hype. Yeah. I brought my buddy Caden too. Like one of my friends, he's like working at the hospital. You know, he's not in the fire service.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, and just like having those community events and like meeting people. You know, it is like a very humanizing thing.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, they're just dudes or they're just gals. You know, they're just doing their thing. You know, it's really cool to like just build those relationships too, like with your work, like the people you work with, because you spend so much time, like especially on a crew, like a hand crew. But even like I bet smoke jumping too, and like. Like engines, you're working with like relatively the same group of people for like months at a time.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
And sometimes like 2 weeks, like where you see them every single day, like most of the day, even when you don't want to.
Yeah.
And like for some people, like in some circumstances, just like, you know, work friends or, you know, coworkers, and you like never hang out after, which is totally fine, you know, like you're not going to be, you can't have like 100 best friends, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah. And to just kind of incorporate that, like, you know, your friends outside of fire with your friends or your coworkers inside of fire, because then it's just like, you're talking about like community, you know, like living longer, being healthier, being happier. Like, you know, the more that network is together, like,
yeah,
the better it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree, man. Yeah, I think that's a good spot to end it, I think, my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been at it for a while, man. How long do you think we've been at it?
Oh, it's already past 8, dude. Yeah, that's a while.
That was a good one, man.
Cool.
How long do you think we've been at it? You want to take a stab at it?
Oh, you got a timer over there?
Oh, yeah. Take the exact time.
Hour and 37 minutes.
Ooh, not quite, man. Hour 15.
Oh, 15. Okay.
That was a good one, though, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, dude. You got a sick setup in here. And...
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, it's improving. Should have some better flooring next time, or at least a cover on the sucker.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, measure twice, cut once.
Yeah, I think the opposite happened the last time. So, well, thanks, folks, for listening and tuning in and supporting the channel. Appreciate you.